Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is Sports Radio 610 Special Programming. David Culley has been fired. What's next? We're reacting with you now.
Yes, as I am back at it here as it's an emergency roundtable, as you just heard from Clint and Sean Pendergast. Seth Payne is still with us, but now we have added myself, Ron, the show, as well as Wade Smith, 12-year NFL vet. So I got all kinds of former players on here with their thoughts. If you're just joining us, the news of the day: David Culley fired after a 4-13 season. He is fired and relieved of his duties, as well as offensive coordinator Tim Kelly, who had been here 8 years. And then it sounds from two different folks. One, Aaron Wilson, reporting that Brian Flores is the leading candidate, and then also Adam Schefter of ESPN reporting Gerard Mayo is the candidate. Linebackers coached for the last 2 years with the New England Patriots. I do, before getting you guys' thoughts, want to go across, if you're just joining us, a statement released from the Texans from Nick Caserio, general manager, David Culley, and Kyle McNair, the owner. First from Nick Caserio, he said, earlier today, I met with David Culley and Tim Kelly to inform them we will be moving in a different direction at head coach and offensive coordinator positions. I came to this difficult but necessary decision after reviewing our football operations. While a change after one season is unusual, we had a philosophical difference over the long-term direction and vision for our program moving forward. We appreciate Coach Culley for helping us navigate through a difficult season, but it is my responsibility to make decisions that I feel are best for our organization. The search for the next coach of the Houston Texans will begin immediately. David Culley said, I loved every minute of being the head coach of the Houston Texans. I appreciate the players, coaches, for staying the course with me through the ups and downs in the season. I am disappointed we didn't win more games, and I won't have a chance to improve on the lessons that I've learned. And then, obviously, Kyle McNair, he says, we are grateful for the energy and passion David brought to our organization throughout the last season. We wish him and his wife, Caroline, and the entire family, nothing but the best moving forward. I entrusted Nick Caserio to lead football performance, and I have complete confidence he will find the best leader for our team. These decisions are difficult, but Nick believed it was necessary for the future of our organization. We are looking forward to continuing to build our roster and finding the right coach to lead us forward. All right, now that we got all that out the way, Wade, let's jump in with you. I just want to get from you your thought process when this finally came down a little after 2 o'clock that David Culley would be let go.
I tell you what, man, I wasn't surprised one bit. When you listen to the press conferences that David Culley made after the season was over, I think people aren't giving him enough credit. I think he kind of drew a line in the sand. I think he was talking from a position of somewhat strength, because he said, in the press conferences, he said, you know what, I haven't talked to Nick Caserio, and I don't have any meetings set with Nick Caserio or the front office or anybody like that, and I'm not going to go talk to them. They're going to come talk to me. Basically, he understood that if he was going to get let go and the writing was on the wall, he wasn't going to come groveling, knocking on the door, hey, are we going to make a move? I think he pretty much knew the situation that he was in. He also knew that he had a one-year, basically $22 million contract, that if they did let him go, he was going to be fine. So there's people that are feeling bad for David Culley. I don't feel bad for him. Oh, he hit a lick. I think David Culley hit a lick. Like 100%, like, you know, the way things were handled didn't make any sense. The way things are going, unless Nick Caserio really solidifies this next hire, still won't make sense. But from David Culley's perspective, he got to be a head coach. He got the opportunity to do something he never would have gotten the opportunity to do. He had fun while he did it. He stayed himself the entire time. And he's going to get $22 million to do it. I don't feel bad for him at all.
I think, it's a unique situation where I think there's virtually nobody that blames David Culley for the Texans being bad. And yet, you can still feel like there's no way that he would be the guy who long-term should be the guy to lead the team. So I don't think it's not like most situations when a coach of a bad team gets fired and people are very polarized over it. I don't think there are a lot of people that really thought that Culley should be the guy moving forward, but you also don't feel awesome that he got fired because it just, you know, Bill O'Brien got them into this mess. I'm not saying I'm with you. I don't feel bad for him one bit. If he gets it, it might only be $8 million, Wade. Only $8
million. I'm just going off of what he said. Apparently, he said they owe me X amount of dollars.
Culley actually said they owe me $22
million. I saw a quote on Twitter where it said they asked, I think it was Mark Berman had the direct quote from Culley saying that, my contract goes through 2025.
Yeah.
Cut the check.
Do we 100% trust that David Culley understands his contract?
That's a whole nother thing right there. But I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say he understands the dollars and the cents.
I do want to – go ahead, Sean.
No, go ahead, bud.
Or Seth, sorry. No, I do want to – there was a part there that I do want to touch there about it is when you said that, you know, you don't feel bad for him. I don't feel bad for him. I do wonder what his thought is, because I do think people, as you're saying, Seth, it could be 8, it could be 22. We don't know the numbers. Like, I understand the money thing, but I think almost to where Seth alluded to, he is still, I think now the narrative with him, especially people who were able to hear him close up every day, is that he is kind of a bumbling idiot. And that he is not real smart when it comes to whatever. And that was never a narrative about him before taking this job. And I disagree a bit with you on this point, Wade, where I'm not sure if he was able to feel comfortable with just being himself. The only time I ever heard him just really comfortable being himself was when he messed up on that Huddle and Flow podcast. And he was just out talking to his friends. I felt like you know, there was a script that he was trying to follow all the time, and he could never just let his hair down and be himself. So I think there is something to the point of you've been put in almost 30 years in a business, and now in your 1 year, the narrative may be that you're not smart when it comes to football especially. And I don't know, when you put in that kind of work, that's something that I don't think you want as a legacy, even if you get, you know, $8 to $22 million.
Well, I would say this, Ron. When I made the statement that he got to be himself, I'm talking about when he's interacting with the guys in the locker room.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
As being the head coach of the Houston Texans, David Culley was David Culley. He was who he was, right? That's one thing. Second thing, he had every opportunity to handle things differently in press conferences where he didn't look like the bumbling idiot, how you kind of put it in quotations. He had every opportunity to handle those things differently. He didn't do it. That's on him. Like, there's ways to answer questions that would have not put him in the fray to where he looked like he didn't know what he was doing, but he brought that on himself. It wasn't like he wasn't getting help from because Caserio was in his ear. It wasn't like he didn't have opportunities to make the right decisions or say things the right way at press conferences so that he didn't open himself up to more criticism. But there was too many times that didn't happen. And so that's on Culley. Everybody is responsible for their words. And so if people feel that about Culley, it's because maybe he got exposed. Maybe, you know, you mentioned that he wasn't thought of that when he came here. Nobody thought of him at all. We didn't know who he was. I played in the league for 12 years. I'd never heard of David Culley before he became the coach here. And I know he'd been in the league for a long time, but I never heard of him. He was a wide receivers coach. He was just somebody on the staff. And so that's who David Culley was. And that's who Nick Caserio decided to make the head coach. To me, that's the bigger thing. The fact that he decided to make him the head coach.
Oh yeah.
To me, Culley was who we thought he was. When he was made the head coach of the team, it was like, what are we doing? Like, that didn't make any sense. And now a year later, you're letting him go because of philosophical differences. That's not true. And I'm gonna tell you why it's not true. It's because Culley did what you want him to do. He did what you asked him to do.
I agree with
you. He did everything that he asked you to do. So it's not philosophical changes. Now they can't it's always lion season with NFL teams. So expect that. Like, expect the statement to come out and you be like, man, that's BS. Because it is. They're not going to tell you the absolute truth, because if they did, then they're showing their hands. At the end of the day, everything that Nick Caserio has done, it could work out. He's got some critical decisions to make over the next few days and critical things to play out to where it could all work out. But to say that you can't criticize Nick Caserio for making David Culley the head coach, he has to take criticism for that, because the guy came in and did everything you asked him to do, and then you fired him after a year. And that's from that perspective. But my thing is this: David Culley had to know that was the deal coming into this. And if he didn't know this was the deal coming into it, then he wasn't paying attention for the 30-some years he was in the league and understand how the NFL works.
Yeah, and that's where the big question is, okay, how much of this was a plan to have Culley, and that at some point when you got the guy that you really wanted all along, then you're going to move on from Culley. That's the part that, if that was your plan, okay, great, as long as you actually land the guy that you wanted all along. If they botch that part of it, then it means that they botched the hiring of a bridge coach, and they botched the hiring of the actual coach after that. And that's where, when it's Caserio and Easterby kind of master planning all of this stuff, I would say plotting, but it's kind of got a negative connotation to it. Yeah, I'll say plotting. When they're plotting their scheme, like there's some kind of Scooby-Doo villains or something. Like, did they think that Caserio was it as simple as just, oh yeah, he's a nice guy, he'll go out and he'll say nice things in press conferences and nobody be none the wiser? That's the part that boggles my mind. So they have to at least get the guy that they wanted all along, and then I'll feel like, okay, at least they executed the plan. That makes sense, at least. If they end up not hiring a guy for like 4 weeks, Wade, I'm gonna lose it. I'm gonna absolutely lose it.
All right, Seth Payne, Wade Smith, we're here until 9 o'clock. Landry will be here in a bit. There's so much to touch here. Once again, if you are just coming in and not sure of everything, David Culley relieved of his duties after one season. Tim Kelly also out. Keep an eye open, or just really listen to Sports Radio 610, or follow sportsradio610.com, where there could be more changes made with this roster moving forward, or with this staff moving forward. A couple of things I want to get to. We've heard so many reasons of, should you feel bad for David Culley, or was he wronged, and all the national narrative. I want to get from you guys the actual real reasons David Culley was fired. Like, why was he fired? And there has been one report out specifically of the differences, those philosophical differences that Nick Caserio spoke of. We'll see how real those are. All that coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Sports Radio 610 Special Programming.
David Culley has been fired.
What's next?
We're reacting with you now.
Seth Payne, Wade Smith, run the show here with you on a special roundtable discussing here the firing of David Culley. And what the Texans will go moving, what they'll be doing moving forward. A couple of program notes and something to be thinking about. And Seth, I hope you're ready for this one. This has been reported. The Texans have scheduled a press conference for Friday morning with General Manager Nick Caserio to discuss the firing of Coach David Culley and the next steps for the organization. So beware of that tomorrow morning. Friday morning, General Manager Nick Caserio is holding a press conference about the firing of David Culley. And I know he won't say the pure truth. As Wade said earlier, it's Lion season right now for GMs. But I want to start with you, Seth. In your opinion, if you had to just you know, for we've heard so many things, your opinion, what were the actual reasons Nick Caserio had to do this and had to let go of David Culley?
I would say, the first reason that we don't know whether this is true or not is that they've just got a coach that they've wanted all along that's available and that they think they're going to be able to get him. You know, they wouldn't have been able to publicly talk about it or interview him beforehand. But if it's one of those New England guys, there's a chance that it might be as simple as they had hired Culley, figuring he was probably going to be a short-term solution or a bridge coach or whatever you want to call him, a placeholder, and that now that either Gerard Mayo or Brian Flores is available or maybe somebody else, and that maybe those guys are willing to take this job now, it might be as simple as that. Beyond that, look, every coach makes bad in-game decisions, every single one of them. You know, Belichick makes bad in-game decisions at times, or at least ones that, you know, flip a coin, it would have been better if he had done the other thing. The biggest thing about Culley was it wasn't just the crime, it was the cover-up. It was like when he thought in describing the final drive in the New England game, he thought the clock stopped because of an incomplete pass when it was actually a timeout that he had called himself. Like, he didn't have a basic memory of what had happened. He had admitted that in the one game that in the Patriots game that Caserio had advised him to let the Patriots score, he admitted he just didn't even understand it. It didn't register with him. Week 18 in the 17th game, the team, down 3 touchdowns, goes up-tempo in the second half. Culley afterwards says he wishes he would have learned earlier in the season that sometimes going up-tempo is a good strategy to employ. And then he said in his coach's show that he came into halftime of that game and he didn't even know what to say. The offensive coaches took it upon themselves to go up-tempo. It was one step after the other where you just kept asking, like, why is this guy a head coach in the National Football League? And I know a lot of people are saying, hey, he won 4 games. Okay, he won 4 games. Turnovers factored into a lot of those games. Like, Lovie Smith's defense struggled a lot this year, but they created a lot of turnovers. 3 of those games, they had heavy created turnovers. One of them, the Chargers game, they had some very influential turnovers. But I'll remind you of this show. And this is in one that still boggles my mind. After the Dolphins game, the Texans had turned the ball over 4 times. The Dolphins had turned the ball over 5 times. David Culley got up on a Monday, having a full 24 hours to think about it, and said, remember, the Texans had 4, Dolphins had 5 turnovers. He actually said it's impossible to win a football game when you turn the ball over 4 times. I rest my case. I could not. The Texans, for all of the bad things they do, could not subject us to any more of this nonsense. That's why they fired him.
And Wade, I think we agree on a lot of those, at least I do, a lot of those reasonings why. And I think the big thing for me that it's hard for me not to just to separate the firing and then everything around it. For me, wouldn't you think these are things that you would have been able to see in a vetting process of interviewing him? Wouldn't you believe, like, couldn't you find out some of this stuff where it's like, boy, he's just not ready in certain situations? Like, I don't even know if necessarily these blunders or those examples that Seth was given should even be a surprise for you. You look at his experience and if you met with him.
Yeah, I tell you what, man. You would think that you would have been able to discern that and figure that out during the interview process. You know, I can't remember how long he was here. I think he was here for like a couple days. He had an initial interview, and then they brought him back, I believe, if I remember. That's how it went. But, you know, he showed a lack of polish when it comes to communicating with the media, communicating his thoughts, how things transpired throughout a game, throughout practice that week. He just really struggled with that throughout the year. And some of the things he said was just, like, he might have meant one thing and said another thing, but he just, and I like the way that Seth just put that. It was a cover-up. His ability to make a mistake in real time and then afterwards not come up with some type of plausible deniability exposed him for his lack of being a head coach, because head coaches are notoriously able to do that. That's part of lion season. When I talked about the GMs and front offices, lion, that's part of being a good head coach and being a good front office person, is being able to sell a dream, being able to cover up, put lipstick on a pig, like being able to do those type of things. And Cully just wasn't good at that. And he didn't get any better at that part throughout the season. I think he got better at being a head coach in game throughout the season, but I don't think he ever got better at winning the press conference throughout the season. And, you know, when Seth mentioned it, like, Caserio told him during the game, hey, you need to let them score. And he admits that he did, and it didn't register him to him that I should let the New England Patriots score so we can have a chance to actually win this game. If you're Nick Caserio, like, listen, I put this guy in a tough spot, but at least you can do is listen to me when I'm giving you the answers to the test. And he struggled with that. Yeah. And so if you struggle with that, this is the NFL. This is the league. This is one of those places where that's why there's so much, you know, consternation about Jack. You should be still being in the building over there, because this is the league where, hey, if you don't do right, if you don't produce, your ass is gone. And I understand that wholeheartedly. And so this is what happened with David Culley. There was things you need. I need you to just be the spokesperson for this, be the spokesperson for this organization. Be able to handle, be your positive self if you always are, which he did. He was always positive. He always kept the mood up and the vibe up in the locker room and throughout the building. Did a great job of that. But you also, as a head coach, have to be able to win the press conference. You have to be able to sound like you have a grasp fully on what is going on at all times. And if you don't do that, they move on.
That's Wade Smith. Go ahead, Wade. Or go ahead, Seth.
No, yeah, and that's just, again, like, I'll reiterate, if it was part of their plan anyway, just to have a bridge coach, and that they had somebody else in mind, I'll be cool with it as long as they actually get that guy. If this turns out that they actually just botched the bridge coach hire and they got to hire somebody else that maybe they don't like, or maybe the guys they really like flat out don't want this job, that's when the whole brain trust of Cal McNair, Jack Easterby, Nick Caserio needs to be shaken up somehow. And I like a lot of what I've seen out of Caserio so far. So I don't know which of those three would budge ever, but the likeliest scenario would be Jack Easterby, but I don't think that's going to happen either.
Caserio has a chance. Caserio has a chance here to make this right and seal the deal to where a lot of people say, you know what? Hey, he planned this out from the jump. He went from A to B to C to D. Like, it was, you know, step one to two to three to four. He has the opportunity to do that. I don't know if it's in him to pull it off. Because and when I say that, I talk about the blind spots that guys from New England have. Their blind spots when they put together a front office, put together a head coach, an offensive coordinator, and defensive coordinator. When the New England guys leave New England and they go full 100%, remember back, you know, back in the day, the way we did things, they always fail. The ones that have success, like Tampa Bay, like Tennessee, like Atlanta, they know they have a blind spot because of where they came from. They find someone that can supplement that, and then they have a lot of success. And that this is what Caserio has an opportunity to do with this head coach hire and the offensive coordinator hire, the two positions that just got let go.
Your thoughts on this report from Ian Rappaport earlier today. Among the reasons Texans coach David Culley was fired, he would not make changes to the offensive staff, sources said. Houston had the 32nd ranked offense. Culley wanted to stay the course. And now Tim Kelly is obviously out as well. Do you buy that David Culley, one of the reasons why he got fired? We heard philosophical difference between that term was used by Nick Caserio. Do you believe that that went into a part of it, is that David Culley just wasn't going to budge on the likes of Tim Kelly remaining with this team?
I have a hard time buying that just because it doesn't – I mean –
he's never had any power.
No, and it doesn't – it seems like he's always been totally cool with that. You know, he had mentioned at the end of the year that he didn't even have a clue, and I like this, he didn't have a clue like which guys were on one-year contracts or anything like that. Like he completely removed himself from a lot of that front office type stuff, and I would be just flabbergasted if he actually, like if he was unwilling to budge on that. I think that right there was one of the things that he just never learned, Wade. You pointed this out. He never learned that there were times where you should just deliver a no comment. He would just keep talking. So they would ask him, like, hey, are the coaches safe? The simple answer is, we talk about all that stuff after the season. We evaluate everything. I'd say that in a winning season, a losing season, whatever. That's what we say. But no, he has to just go ahead and try to please somebody and say, like, oh, yeah, they're all here. But I can't imagine him putting his foot down over that. Unless the Texans were dumb enough to give him $22 million guaranteed, and Culley knew for sure that, like, yeah, you know what, I'm going to stand my ground here, and I'm going to get my $22 million. So, sayonara.
It's possible. That scenario is possible. It's highly, highly unlikely.
Yeah.
I really do not believe that David Culley had any power over who was going to be on his coaching staff, because he was told who was going to be on his coaching staff. Why would that change after year one?
Like, but that's why he would get fired, is if he like tried to make a stand somehow.
Right.
I don't know. You know,
that's possible.
Yeah.
It's highly unlikely.
I can't see him slapping the table down for Tim Kelly. I can't see him saying, damn it, nope, Tim Kelly, he doesn't go. I've known him for 11 months. He doesn't go.
It's also weird, man, though. The fun and the maddening thing about the Texans is that you can throw out almost any scenario there, and there's a chance it could happen.
Anything's possible.
The morning I openly mocked Peter King for suggesting that DeAndre Hopkins might get traded, and then 3 hours later, DeAndre Hopkins was traded.
Why you have to bring that up right now? I was having a good day, and then you want to bring up the D-Hop trade again.
All right, that's Seth Payne, Wade Smith. We're continuing to about 9 o'clock. Seth, thank you for hanging on with us, and enjoy your morning. Get ready for a big morning for you and Sean, as you guys may be sitting, getting ready for a Nick Caserio press conference, as it is scheduled to be set in the morning. So we'll be listening to you in the morning. Coming up next, Landry will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the firing, because I'm sure he is chomping at the bit. And how about the two guys that have been mentioned as potential replacements? We'll see what the fellas think about that. All that coming up next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business.
From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Sports Radio 610 Special Programming.
David Culley has been fired.
What's next?
We're reacting with you now.
All right, welcome back in. Special roundtable here, right here on Sports Radio 610. You've heard us all. Sean Pendergast, Clint Sterner earlier, Seth Payne earlier. I'm Ron, the show, Wade Smith with us. And now joining us, Landry Locker, middays right here on Sports Radio 610 every day. You can hear from 10 to 2. And if you're just joining us, David Culley, he's out of here. Tim Kelly, he's out of here. And there have been a couple of candidates that have apparently moved to the front of the line, according to some reports we'll get to. But Landry, you haven't at least on these airwaves, expressed your thoughts on this. Before we get going, moving forward, what's your opinion on what you see now, the Texans moving forward without David Culley?
First of all, you and Clint are some lucky SOBs. It just missed us by an hour. So that's first and foremost. You guys are the lucky winners of the day. My thoughts are good for him and good for them. I think David Culley got an opportunity that he wouldn't have gotten anywhere else. And I think David Culley will be the first to tell you he appreciates the opportunity. And he realizes that he kind of benefited from this chaotic situation. He said as much to Brandon Scott. So I'm happy for Culley. I'm happy for the Texans because it was clear that David Culley was not a quality NFL head coach. I think most of us can agree on that. And I also think the credibility of Nick Caserio from a football mind, it went up a little bit with the Tim Kelly decision. If Tim Kelly would have come back, I would have strongly questioned Nick Caserio's football mind and football IQ. So I think that was a good thing for all parties involved. But as far as the Culley decision, the one amusing thing to me is I had no idea that the national media types thought that he was Vince Lombardi until today. Like, I don't know what is going on right now, but for whatever reason, David Culley has become like Vince Lombardi overnight. And I'm just amused by it. I don't expect national media types to know about the Texans. As a matter of fact, it'd be a complete waste of time to pay attention to the garbage that we've had to watch this year and really the last couple of years. It would suck. And if I had to cover all 32 teams, I wouldn't even know what color the Texans wore up to this point. So I don't expect them to understand that. But the way that this thing is being, you know, discussed nationally, I think it's just I'm somewhat amused by it, show.
Yeah, Wade Smith, Landry Locker in, amused by the national media. I think that's the part where you move forward, right? I think we all agree that David Culley, this was the right move. He had shown on many occasions that he is not a head coach. But then it goes to the – and I think you've made mention to it a couple of times, Wade, tonight.
like the next move. Like, how do you feel about these are the same folks that are going to be making the decisions on this hire? And I see a lot of Texans fans who don't have a lot of confidence in the next move and the next decision based off of this one with Nick Caserio. And I think it's very, very fair. I think that's the big thing is the way that all this was handled, firing a coach after a year, interviewing all the candidates you did and settling on him, and you got to fire him after a year. I think that's the big story is, you know, is this really the crew to get this organization back to where they want to be?
Well, that's the thing. There's nothing that has been done over the past few years for you to have any belief that that'll be the case, that they will hire the right person for this job. There's no evidence to prove that up. There are some people that are inherently positive and optimistic. And so in that regard, you can say, you know what, I think that they can get this right. But if you're a realist, if you're somebody that has, you know, sees things for what they are, you have no reason to believe that they're going to be getting it right. Now, there is another side of that when you can say, well, when Nick Caserio talks, he understands ball. Like, you understand that he knows how to evaluate talent. He knows what he's looking for in players. And that's a huge part of putting together a team and building an organization. Now, can he make the right hire? Based off of the hire he made last year, you have no evidence that this next one's going to be right. And I know me personally, when it comes to figuring out who's going to be the head coach for the Houston Texans, I'm 0-3. When Kubiak got fired, I was hoping it was going to be Lovie Smith. Wrong, it was Bill O'Brien. When Bill O'Brien got fired, I was hoping it was going to be Sala, Bieniemy, Staley, somebody. It ended up being David Culley. So I'm not 0-2, but I'm anticipating that I'm going to be 0-3 because who I would want them to hire that I think fits with what they want, but that also would make a lot of sense.
Here you go.
I don't have confidence that it's going to happen.
Well, who is it?
It would be Brian Flores. To me, he's the best guy based off of who they mess around with, who they like, who they connect with, and based off of what he's done in the league. How do I confuse you?
You confuse me, Smitty.
Explain that to me. How do I confuse you?
Because we talked about this, and we'll talk about this tomorrow as well. But I was very happy when this special popped up because I was going to have to wait till tomorrow to have you make some sense of what you're telling show, what you're telling me, and what you're telling all the Sports Radio 610 listeners and Texans fans. You texted me, and I'm not gonna read all the stuff in between.
Oh, right, you texted
me, and you said, I'm tired of this Patriots stuff. Give me Brian Flores.
Yeah,
you said enough of this Patriots stuff.
That's actually not what I texted but okay.
You said the Patriots stuff doesn't work.
I said the 100% Patriot way does not work.
Yes.
That's exactly what I said.
Exactly.
The 100% Patriot way.
But what makes Brian Flores different than that? That's
He's
that's
not
the
100%. This is the thing. If Brian Flores.
How do we know that?
Well, first of all, his offensive coordinator that he had in Miami, it was like at one point it was Chan Gailey.
He had multiple offensive coordinators, right.
But my whole point is this. If Brian Flores comes in here, then the Texans still have a chance to be successful, I believe.
Okay.
They just have to make sure their offensive coordinator is not Patriots way guy. Because if they go for that, to me, is 100% Patriots way. There's nobody that can see the blind spots.
To not be New England.
100%.
But you're okay. Okay with the defense being New England.
100%. They always have good defenses.
Okay.
Why would I not be okay with that? They never have good offenses without Tom Brady.
Okay.
Or if they do have good offenses, they can throw the ball well, but they can't run the ball well. I'm trying to get this team to a point to where they can win championships, right?
Okay.
I've seen because it's contrary to popular belief, a lot of these guys that come from New England, they're damn good at what they do. They know how to evaluate talent. There is something to be said for that. That is a quality you want in decision makers within your organization. But if they go 100% Patriot way, they're going to fall on their face every time. Chiefs, Jets, Lions,
Browns.
Every time they do it that way, it fails.
Yeah.
If Caserio is aware enough and seen what's happened in the past and says, you know what, I got some buddies like Jason Litt and Jason Robinson, Dimitrov. I got guys like that came from the same place I came from, and they wasn't 100%. It was a lot of us, but we have to have somebody to make this whole goulash work together. and have some diversity in how we do things here and how we look at things and philosophies, now we can have success. And that's, to me, because Brian Flores checks.
That's a, in a perfect world, that's right. But aren't there context clues that maybe Brian Flores is kind of a my way or the highway type of guy too, with that type of personality, with what went on in Miami and what everyone is saying went down in Miami? I don't know how Brian Flores is different than all these guys outside of coaching defense. And Matt Patricia was a defensive guy, and there have been coaches that have failed.
The difference is this: Brian Flores is leader of men. McDaniels is not. Patricia was not. There's a lot of those guys. Mangini was not. Players, when Brian Flores steps in the meeting room, you perk up and you say, okay.
Yeah.
He garners respect.
Crazy. I mean, just like when
Vrabel walks in the meeting room, he garners respect, right? There's differences with New England guys. Some New England guys are just straight up geniuses, right? There's a part of that will work for your organization, but if it's all that, it ain't gonna work. So that's what I'm saying. The Texans, and that's what I texted you, they can be feast or famine.
Okay.
If they bring in Flores, Mayo, if they bring in Flores and promote Pep Hamilton as the offensive coordinator, Texas will be in the AFC Championship in 4 years.
Oh my goodness.
I believe that. Did you see it going this way?
Wade Smith, Landry Locker.
I didn't see it going this way.
I had to jump. We'll jump to that real quick.
Yeah.
Landry, do you not see Flores as the top candidate, like the best, the most realistic candidate? Because Jim Harbaugh's not realistic. Eric Bieniemy's not realistic.
At all.
Those guys are. It's not happening. Those aren't realistic.
Eberflus,
Doug Peterson, I think are good candidates, aren't realistic. Do you not see Flores as the top guy?
I could see Eberflus, by the way, just to make that clear. As far as Flores, I just find it. First of all, I'm just fascinated that with all the talk about not wanting to bring another New England guy, that we would bring in another New England guy. That seems interesting to me.
You have to understand that I'm basing my statement off of realistic.
Oh, realistic. I don't think Flores is coming here.
He's not the best candidate, but he's the best candidate out of the guys that could possibly come here.
There's
a difference.
I'm intrigued by Mayo because I think the intangibles and the leadership of Mayo, I'm intrigued by. And I know, like, I know that there's really like a discussion about what exactly he does with the defense in New England. And I just don't really know how much that matters in this situation. I think a walk around head coach would be fine. I'm intrigued by Mayo, and I wouldn't sleep on Eberflus. I wouldn't, because this is the other thing about Eberflus that I think is interesting. They asked to speak to Eberflus last year, and I think he said no. His name was going to be linked, and he didn't do it. So I wouldn't completely dismiss Eberflus. I just don't think the Flores, if we're just talking realistic, I don't think, and damn, it took me what? This might be a record. This might be the longest time it's taken. It took me 4 minutes. I'll be damned. I don't think Flores could work with Jack Easterby in this role. I know that everybody talks about their relationship in the past.
It took me 4 minutes.
Yeah, I know that everybody talks about their relationship in the past and what he knew Jack as in New England. But if you hear what went down in Miami and the butting of heads, and you take into account that this dude is, he's from the Bronx. He doesn't give a damn. Like he's going to.
That's why I'd be good with him being here.
Exactly. But I don't know.
That's part of the reason why.
I don't know if the bald guy would like that in this role. And I know that Brian Flores does not know Jack Easterby in this role. So I just don't know that it's realistic for that to happen.
That to me, fellas, is why Brian Flores would I think scream and say so much to me, and would give me a different sense on how I look at the Nick and the organization.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
100%, 100%. Exactly. 100%.
Brian, I'm with
me,
you on
that's
that.
That's why I said I'd be a believer. That's why I would be a believer in what they got going on over there if they actually did that.
He's not getting punked. He left. He got fired in Miami because of the issues he's had. And they wanted Tua, and he wanted Justin Herbert, and they had issues with that from the jump. Like, he's not getting pushed around, and not picking his staff, and you're not – I don't even – like you said, and I agree with you on that, Landry. He might say, hey, Jack, man, you ain't on the field, boss. Like, that ain't it. Like, I want you to stay in your role. Like, and so if that were to happen, that would scream to say, hold on, because right now, when you say Mayo, Mayo's younger than I am. Mayo's 35 years old. That seems like the perfect scenario of somebody who would be all right being impacted by Jack and Nick, which to me is a problem. Like, I think they need a hard-nosed coach to start the culture and not Nick and them try to set the culture and then be involved so much with them. He seems like Mayo, who I'm speaking of, seems like the guy that's like, all right, man, you'd never get this opportunity probably from anybody else at this point in your career. Your resume doesn't scream or fit this job at all, but we're going to give it to you so we can have as much impact as we want, which sounds very much similar to David Culley from another perspective. And that's, to me, why Brian Flores would say so much if they brought him in, because you'd have to change the way you view them.
Yeah, I'm with you, because if you listen to Jerod Mayo and you listen to Brian Flores and you hear about him, I think Nick Caserio could work with either one. I think Nick Caserio is professional enough to where, even if he is yelling, if Brian Flores is yelling, I think Nick Caserio can handle it well enough and he can orchestrate it enough. And I think he is a professional enough and a competent football guy enough to where he could work with him. I think he could work with Jerod Mayo, too, because Jerod Mayo has a little bit of that. I don't know. We'll probably dive more into what Jerod Mayo is, but he also has a successful business background. So when Nick Caserio is making, like, Silicon Valley references and talking about all that type of crap, that's the type of guy Jerod Mayo is going to be, on top of the player credibility. So it's really just a pick your poison. What type of personality do you want to work with? But I think if it's just Nick Caserio and that's the only thing taken into account, he can work with either personality. I think there's kind of like a myth that Nick Caserio wants a yes man and Nick Caserio don't want anyone to push back. I think maybe this year in this situation with what he inherited and with what he knew he was getting into, that's the case. But I don't think he wants a guy like a David Culley. And I don't necessarily think Nick Caserio wants like a certain personality or is unable to work with certain types of personalities.
I don't disagree with that at all. I think you're right about that. There's nothing that I've seen or heard that make me think that, you know, Nick Caserio couldn't work with a guy like Brian Flores. They've worked together before in the past and had a tremendous amount of success. So, like, the reason why I throw Brian Flores out there is because they have that relationship and it makes a lot of sense. He's a guy that's available that nobody thought was going to be available. And so when you get a guy that was not supposed to be available and you've had a tremendous amount of success with them and you have a head coach that's in place now that you know really shouldn't be in that position, You take advantage of that and bring in that guy, Brian Flores. There's other candidates out there. I think Doug Peterson overall is a better head coach right now.
He's got too many choices.
But I'm just saying, the reason why Brian Flores is the first name to come out of my mouth is because I'm being realistic.
Yeah.
And I know that there's other candidates out there that are better, but we've kind of eliminated those as any legitimate possibility. If Nick Caserio was to go outside of New England, that would signal a huge thing to me as well. I just don't think that's
realistic. You got to look at Indy. I think Indy's the other place you got to look. And I think I've been
talking about a team that didn't make the playoffs.
I am.
They lost to the Jags.
I am.
That team.
I am. That okay. team. That All team. Right. I'm telling you. I'm saying, look out for Eberflus and look out for Bubba Ventron. I think Bubba Ventron at the very least gets an interview here.
I think Bubba Ventron he's the same as Jerod Mayo. It's the same thing. And to me, I have a hard time believing that they will be able to.
Can you do that back to back times?
Their blind spots.
Can you do that back to back times? Like someone who's never been a coordinator, and I know he's a special teams, runs a special teams unit, but can you do that back to back times after?
Man, this,
hell, you know what the Texans
they can
do
what they want to do. This is the Texans. They can do what they want to do. They've done what they wanted to do. This is an NFL franchise.
Before I got out my mouth,
what are you talking about, Show? Some of the scenarios that we put ourselves through are very unorthodox. Because the Texans are grown men over there, they can do what they want to do. And that's what they've been doing. Like I said, he has an opportunity. If you bring in a guy like Bubba Ventrone, that's just like bringing in Jared Mayo. It's the same type of thing. And I don't see the path for success with that. I can see them getting better. But when I talk about success, this franchise has been to a point where they've gone to the playoffs consistently and lost early. I don't see them getting over that hump with those type of guys. I see them getting over the hump with Brian Flores as a head coach, or Doug Peterson as a head coach, or like somebody of that ilk. And so that's the ball's in Caserio's court right now. He has the opportunity to make that happen. If he goes one way, I'm just going to be like, if he goes the other way, I'm saying, hey, I'm standing on the table. Texans going to be in the AFC Championship in 4 years.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that you didn't want to recant that. They didn't get away from you just a taste.
Why not?
They didn't get away from you a little bit. They didn't get away.
What's stopping? What's stopping that from happening?
He didn't work himself into a show Cincinnati Alabama prediction. You gave him a chance to
the Cincinnati Bengals have a legit shot of making the AFC Championship this year.
Yeah.
Cincinnati
they got a position to get Joe Burrow.
They
got in position to get Joe Burrow. They got in position to get guys to change their franchise. I would just say this.
I think Caserio is a better team builder as far as acquiring talent than whoever's doing it in Cincinnati right now. And I can't remember who it is right now.
Yeah, but see what kind of head coach hire he is.
And that's very important. That's my whole point. It's feast or famine. That's my whole point of this whole conversation. He has the opportunity to make something happen.
They don't even have like an official GM there. I think Duke Tobin or something like that. Tobin.
Oh yeah. For the Bengals, yeah.
They got the flat organization over there.
No,
too?
It ain't flat.
All right, we're gonna continue this 9 o'clock Landry and Wade. I think Lopez will probably find his way around here. And make sure once again, programming note: it is a schedule tomorrow morning. Nick Caserio will be meeting with the media, holding a press conference discussing the firing of David Culley and the next steps moving forward. That's already been reported tonight. But continue right here with Sports Radio 610 as we have this emergency roundtable discussing the firing of David Culley. Come on back. You don't want to miss what's happening next. Wade, Landry, and Lopez go hold it down the rest of the way through until 9 o'clock.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.